487 Slide American State Trials, 1918, Volume X, Leo Frank Document. Here is the translated text as follows. William Wims and seven others. On the evening in question, upon returning home, I saw a number of people gathered around the sentinel, using opprobrious language and making threats. I urged them to disperse, warning them that the consequences would be fatal if they did not. A few snowballs were thrown, and the abusive language continued. They said, "Damn him, let him fire, he can fire but one gun." There might have been 70 to 100 people there. When I could not persuade them to leave, I went to Mr. Payne's. Shortly after, the party came down, and I saw nothing more. Soon after, I heard the guns fired, and Mr. Payne was wounded by one of them. I told the people that the sentinel was on duty, that it was his post, and that he had a right to be there. I also mentioned that he could have enough support to relieve him if he needed it, as he was so near the main guard. John Jeffries, a surgeon, was Patrick Carr's surgeon, along with others. After dressing his wounds, I advised him never to go again into quarrels and riots. He said he saw many things thrown at the sentry. He believed they were oyster shells and ice. He heard the people cheer every time they heard something strike that sounded hard. He then saw some soldiers going down towards the custom house. He saw the people pelt them as they went along. After they had reached the custom house, he crossed over towards Warden and Vernon's shop to see what they would do. As he was passing, he was shot and was taken up and carried home to Mr. Fields by some of his friends. I asked him whether he thought the soldiers would fire. He told me he thought the soldiers would have fired long before. I then asked him whether he thought the soldiers were abused a great deal after they went down there. He said he thought they were. I asked him whether he thought the soldiers would have been hurt if they had not fired. He said he really thought they would, for he heard many voices cry out, "Kill them." I then asked him whether he thought they fired in self-defense or on purpose to destroy the people. He said he really thought they did fire to defend themselves, that he did not blame the man, whoever he was, that shot him. This conversation took place on Wednesday. I informed him of his dangerous situation. He told me he was a native of Ireland, that he had frequently seen mobs and soldiers called upon to quell them. Whenever he mentioned that, he always called himself a fool, that he might have known better, that he had seen soldiers often fire on the people in Ireland, but had never in his life seen them bear half so much before they fired. He lived 10 days after he received his wound. I had the last conversation with him about 4 o'clock in the afternoon preceding the night on which he died, and he then particularly said that he forgave the man, whoever he was, that shot him. He was satisfied he had no malice, but fired to defend himself. Edward Payne, a merchant, stated, "On Monday evening, the 5th of March, I went to Mr. Amory's. While I was there, the bell rang, which I supposed was for 9 o'clock. I was about to go out to inquire where the fire was when Mr. Taylor came in and